It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Did you wear purple yesterday? Were you one of the millions of Americans who wore purple or pledged on Facebook to wear purple, identify as purple, a celebrity on TV perhaps wearing purple? Was that you yesterday? You said, wearing purple. Why? Ah, we'll talk about it today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Get involved in the Facebook discussion on Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Okay, there are two major subjects I want to cover with you today. We could use about 20 hours for them, but we will condense it into a focused 1 hour, and we'll hear from you as well. Two issues. First issue has to do with this wearing of purple yesterday. Reading an article, I think Associated Press, but I'm not sure, from New York, millions of Americans joined the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLAAD, October 20th, in wearing purple, in recognition of Spirit Day and to show support for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender youth. Spirit Day now counts millions of Americans committed on Facebook to wearing the color purple on October 20th, 2010 to remember youth lost to anti-LGBT bullying. Hundreds of thousands of Americans also went purple by changing their Facebook and Twitter photos to purple. This is not something that we can ignore. And Facebook has pledged to work against hate speech. Tony Perkins has a fascinating take on that. I'll share that with you shortly. So, question I'm going to come to again, and I'll get into later in the show. I've just finished writing something that we'll post and send out shortly. But is there a way to fight against bullying, harassment of young people without sanctioning, promoting, normalizing, approving homosexuality or homosexual practice? That's question number one. Is there a way to fight against bullying, to really discourage kids from bullying other kids, picking on other kids, taunting kids, without sanctioning, normalizing, endorsing, approving homosexuality or homosexual behavior? That's the first question. I'm going to come back to that. Second question for today. National Public Radio's Juan Williams, a black American known for liberal views, writing much on civil rights, appears on Fox News as a contributor coming from another perspective, balancing out the more conservative views. Well, I don't want to say balancing, but bringing a different perspective from the more conservative views that are often on Fox. And Juan Williams was a senior news analyst for NPR News. He made these comments on the O'Reilly Factor. Here's what happened. Bill O'Reilly had been on The View, show hosted by Barbara Walters and a number of other well-known women, Whoopi Goldberg, some others, and he was explaining why the Ground Zero Mosque should not be built there and talked about polls that 70% of Americans are against it, and one of the hosts was railing on him, where are those polls? I thought it was common knowledge anyway. And then, well, why shouldn't it be built? And O'Reilly says, well, Muslims killed us in 9/11. And that creates an infuriated response. A couple of the ladies walk out. Whoopi Goldberg used profanity and then walked out. So she said she wasn't under control, and therefore she walked out. And then Barbara Walters said, okay, it was wrong for them to walk out. It's a fascinating clip to watch. It was wrong for them to walk out, but what Bill O'Reilly said was wrong. And he said, hey, I didn't mean to offend in saying it, and explained his views. And anyway, they came back, talked civilly about it after that. And now Juan Williams is asked about this, so let me play the clip in question. We'll just jump right in the middle of his comments.
I think you're right. I think, look, political correctness can lead to some kind of paralysis where you don't address reality. I mean, look, Bill, I'm not a bigot. You know the kind of books I've written about the civil rights movement in this country. But when I get on a plane, I got to tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous. Now, I remember also that when that Times Square bomber was at court, I think this was just last week, He said the war with Muslims, America's war with Muslims, is just beginning. First drop of blood. I don't think there's any way to get away from these facts, but I think there are people.
All right, I'll cut there. So he made that statement. Now, these two issues you may have already picked up are related because of the issue of political correctness that paralyzes ability to analyze, etc. But I want to ask you a point-blank question about the Juan Williams situation. National Public Radio immediately fired. I'm sorry to laugh. It's so extreme. It's such an extreme reaction over something like that. And it shows, again, the very point he's making is now evidenced through that. It's just like when I'm going to get my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, published, and publishers are afraid to touch it. It proves one of the very points I'm making in the book. Anyway. Let's step back and ask this question. If what Juan Williams said merited, if not firing, maybe a serious response, a serious rebuke, a serious correction of some kind. Now, he's just talking about his own feelings, right? He's just talking about how he himself feels. He's going to get on a plane. He sees people who are devout Muslims. He gets a little nervous. Boy, what do they have? Is they going to try to do something? I wonder. I mean, they're identifying first and foremost as Muslims. He's sharing his own feelings, his own fears. Okay. What if, let's change things, all right? What if it had been, say, a white person, and there had been a rash maybe of black against white violence in some inner city gangs, all right? I'm going to go through a bunch of scenarios, so don't get offended yet because I'm just using different examples, all right? And you're a white person, and you're getting on the plane, and you see these guys that they're wearing these gang member shirts, and they're black. And you, are they going to try to do something on this plane? Okay, what if there had been in Israel several ultra-Orthodox Jews who had tried to attack, they tried to attack Muslims differently in recent days for whatever reason. They had said, we're going to kill Muslims anywhere in the world we can. Or let's just say that there was some crazed ultra-Orthodox Jews that said, we're going to kill Americans. And then you're getting on a plane. And let's say they did kill some Americans. Then you're getting on a plane and you see some ultra-Orthodox Jews getting on the plane also. And you made the statement, look, I got to be honest. I get a little nervous. Was it a wrong comment? 866-34-TRUTH. Was it a wrong comment? Was it a... the kind of comment that, yeah, you understand why there was a severe reaction, maybe not firing, but some severe reaction? Or is it to the point where we can't even talk about these things now because we'll be politically incorrect? What do you think? So I want to put that question out. And let me read the Tony Perkins piece. I got time to do this. Let me squeeze this in. I got some fascinating Facebook stats that I'm looking at right now. Jotted these down for you, and I'll share them with you momentarily. Facebook doesn't get mad. It gets glad. Tony Perkins, head of the Family Research Council. If there was a status update for Facebook's entire site, it might say something like, jumping on the politically correct bandwagon. Last week, the social media giant officially friended the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation to, quote, end hate speech and anti-gay bullying on the internet. The new partnership, which made a splash in the mainstream news, is significant because it puts Facebook on the media's growing path towards censorship. Ooh. Apparently, anything they construed to be anti-homosexual will be stripped from the site. By the way, I will shortly have a site for my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, on Facebook. We shall see how long that lasts, which is why my speaking tour, God willing, next year will be called The Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity to Expose the Intolerance and Lack of Diversity. Tony Perkins continues, where does that leave Americans who morally oppose the lifestyle and want to help people find freedom from it? FRC and other conservatives may soon find out. According to CNN, the world's biggest social networking hub will be trolling its pages for violators. Quite. And this isn't just routine policing either, the report cautions. Glad we'll see to that. In a press release about the alliance, the organization is urging liberals to take an active role in shutting down speech. Quote, our community needs to continue to be vigilant, report instances of hateful comments and images across the site to Facebook moderators, as well as post messages of support for gay, bisexual, and transgender youth. It may happen slowly, but I guarantee that Facebook will begin to broaden its definition of what's hateful based on GLAAD's prior actions. Will GLAAD pressure Facebook, as it did the Washington Post, to purge any research about the risks of homosexuality? Will discussions about biblical faith suddenly be considered harassment? And more importantly, will these standards be applied across the board? The Daily Caller thinks not. In a great post yesterday, Carolyn May talks about the site's hypocrisy. Not all threatening language is created equal, apparently, she writes. Among Facebook's many online communities are groups such as I Hate Rush Limbaugh, I Can't Wait for Rush Limbaugh to Die, and Rush Limbaugh Should Die Slowly. In an email to the Daily Caller, Facebook spokesman Andrew Noyes did his best to explain why language criticizing homosexuality is hateful and will be censored, while calls for Rush Limbaugh's slow death are legitimate and allowed. All right, Pamela and Charlotte, you're up first when we come back. God of light, welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. We just lost Pamela, but she wanted to ask the question about whatever happened just to freedom of speech. Yes. What happened to it? 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. Our website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, chock full of resources, free resources for you in our online bookstore with tremendous resources you can order there. I've raised two issues today to talk about. One of them, yesterday, millions of Americans, some we can't ignore, 1 Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Do we understand the times? One of our goals here on the voice of the Line of Fire is to be a voice of moral sanity, spiritual clarity, to help you understand the times, to help you understand what's happening in society, what's happening in the world in which we live, so that we know what to do, how to act. So, first question, are you aware of what happened yesterday? Millions of Americans wearing purple, changing, hundreds of thousands changing their Facebook and Twitter status to a purple color to say, hey, we are standing with lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered youth. We are standing against bullying and harassment of these kids. Trust me, friends, this is going to affect you. Well, I don't care. This is going to affect you. Aside from the fact that as followers of Jesus, we should be leading the way and acts of righteousness and compassion and mercy and truth and modeling godly behavior. Aside from that, this is going to affect you. This is going to affect freedoms. This is going to affect school curriculum. It's going to affect a lot of things. And so that's one question. Related to it, Juan Williams, who was a senior news analyst, National Public Radio, a black leader, a leader who's written on civil rights and who comes on to Fox News bringing a more liberal perspective. He was on with Bill O'Reilly, talking about O'Reilly's comments on The View, where O'Reilly said, well, Muslims killed us on 9/11, and then apologized if he was insensitive. And anyway, created quite an uproar on the show. That was news a week ago. Juan Williams said, yeah, to be honest with you, you know, I get on a plane, I see people who are devout Muslims dressed as Muslims. I get a little nervous. And I know that the calls are coming in the Muslim world to kill Americans. I can't ignore these things. He gets fired from National Public Radio. Obviously, freedoms of speech and expression tie in here. Question was, what was it right? Was that an insensitive remark? Was it right for him to be dismissed or at least censored, rebuked in some way, disciplined? Or is that just the typical reaction responding to the very thing he was saying, which is political correctness is at the point that it paralyzes analysis? So we're in a situation now where we're really not allowed to address the problem of bullying and harassment. Because unless we focus on normalizing homosexuality in our schools, we're bigoted, we're hateful. Did you wear purple? Why not? Don't you care? Don't you care about these kids who've killed themselves? Don't you care about Tyler Clemente who jumped off a bridge? Well, of course we care. But as I've been saying for some weeks now, there are 80 to 100 kids who kill themselves every week. I care about kids that get bullied because they're perceived to be gay or that identify as gay, and I'm concerned about kids who are bullied because they're fat or because they have a birthmark or because they have ADHD or because they're perceived to be different or because they're the smartest in the class and other kids are jealous or because they're rich and other kids are poor and makes them feel insecure. Whatever the reason is, I'm concerned about all the kids that get bullied and harassed But unless you show specific solidarity with one particular group, you're considered to be bigoted, hateful, intolerant, and perhaps, heads up, you need to hear this, perhaps in danger of being censored by Facebook. Here, listen to this. There's an article, PC Magazine, 43% of teens affected by cyberbullying, study says. Now, I'm looking at the report, and the report it indicates some of the reasons for this. Specifically, most teens believe that people cyberbully for one or more of these reasons. They think it's funny, 81%. They simply don't like the person, 64%. They view the victim as a loser, 45%. Nearly 6 in 10 teens, 58%, said the cyberbully probably didn't see the action as a big deal. In any case, 43% of teens are affected by cyberbullying, study says. How does the report end, this article now? In the wake of this, Tyler Clemente and other teen suicides, Facebook recently announced of a partnership between several organizations to curb hate speech on its site. The collaboration includes MTV's A Thin Line campaign, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLAAD, the Human Rights Campaign, HRC, the Trevor Project, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, Listen, and Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, PFLAG. This is at the end of an article. About 43% of teens say that they've been cyberbullied. It can be cell phone, it can be computer, it's online one way or another. Please explain to me the fact that 43% of kids said that they were exposed to some kind of harassment, cyberbullying in the last year. How does that tie in specifically with Facebook now working with all these other organizations to curb hate speech on a site? And they're working with all gay activist organizations. Something, friends, is not properly connecting. We are focusing on one group as opposed to caring about that group and focusing on everybody else. Here, Tony Perkins says this, the end of his article. But like the whole hate crimes debate, this isn't about protecting homosexuals. It's about an organized effort to force Americans into accepting their behavior. Well, I think it's about protecting homosexuals as well. But absolutely, it's about an orchestrated effort to force Americans into accepting their behavior. If it weren't, Facebook would have seen through this partnership with GLAAD for the unnecessary publicity stunt that it is. After all, the site already warned users that it wouldn't tolerate obscene personal attacks long before Tyler Clemente's tragic death. Teaming up with GLAAD, that's the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Teaming up with GLAAD just shows Facebook's cowardice. Like the mainstream media, they're succumbing to pressure to silence free speech. GLAAD is establishing itself as an organization that wants to censor any opposition to its radical agenda. Last week, it tried to intimidate the Washington Post into blacklisting me from the paper because of an op-ed I wrote about the dangers of homosexuality. It's Tony Perkins writing. This is how they define hateful. You can read my column on FRC's Facebook page, at least for now. Okay, I searched for this right before the show. The I Hate Israel site. 3,953 participants. Fans, people who like that site. All right? I Hate Israel, all caps. And by the way, there have been multiple complaints to Facebook about this. I know it because I was involved with it, talked about it on the radio, and many people wrote to Facebook complaining. I Hate Israel, 5,718, so that's all in caps. How about this one? I Do Hate Israel. This has 61,087 fans. Yeah, on Facebook, after numerous complaints. And trust me, there's some violent posts there. There's some ugly words there. There's some things that are furthering hatred, nurturing hatred, provoking hatred, and potential violence. But if you do not affirm the behavior, attitudes, desires of a young person who identifies as gay, you are contributing to their death. Friends, we're in trouble in America. We're in big trouble, but we've got some solutions. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us, friends, today on The Line of Fire. You know, sometimes you get frustrated. You think you're the only one who sees things a certain way. You need your thoughts articulated. Well, that's what we're here to do on the broadcast, as well as give you an outlet for speech. 866-34-TRUTH. I asked the question on Facebook before the show, can we fight against the bullying of kids who identify as gay or who are perceived to be gay without teaching that gay is okay? The first two comments that came in said this. Jeremy, quite easily, bullying isn't okay for any reason. And then BJ, would you ask the same question if you were speaking of teaching against bullying obese children? Same lesson, right? And then the other comments that have been coming in, either we're all thinking alike, which is wonderful, or you're listening to the show every day and really learning. Either way, we are in sync. Let me go to the phones. Debbie in Franklin, Massachusetts. Nice to hear from you today, Debbie.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. How you doing?
Great, thanks.
You know, I want to comment. The Lord said that if you are a friend of the world, you're not a friend of mine. And basically what's happening now rapidly is that evil is taking over this world with the Muslims and with the people who are, you know, homosexual. They want to be heard. They want to be known. And, you know, what Bill O'Reilly said on The View, I happened to see it that day. He's correct. He's 100% correct because the Muslims want to take over the world. They want to take over the world.
All right, so Debbie, when you make that statement, the Muslims want to take over the world, since they're, I don't know, 1.3 billion or 1.5 billion Muslims, some of them are radical, some of them are committed but nonviolent, some of them are nominal liberal, are you concerned that you're painting with too broad a brush, that you're making too broad a statement, which would have been the criticism against O'Reilly?
Well, my cousin, who's a major in the Army, he knows about the government, and he actually told me this also, that that's the goal of the Muslims, because he was in Afghanistan for a while, and that's what they want to do. They want to take over, because the basic of the Quran is to kill those who are unbelievers. That's their goal. And I personally believe that the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim.
Got it. All right. Hey, you're certainly entitled to that. So.
Yeah.
All right, so basically you believe that true Islam wants world domination.
Exactly.
and will gladly do it through the sword.
Whether the passive Muslims get involved or not, it doesn't matter. It's those who take the Quran seriously.
Got it.
Are the ones who are going to do what they need to do, and they're
Got
doing it.
It.
They're getting away with it.
All right, hey, Debbie, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it.
Okay, no problem.
I remember, I've referenced this in the past, when President Bush was in office, the second President Bush, and we were launching war against the Taliban in Afghanistan, and he was explaining what the Quran actually meant and taught, and there was a news conference with Taliban leaders in Afghanistan saying, oh, so now he's going to teach us what the Quran means. It was kind of interesting. However, even within Islam, the Taliban are considered to be more militant, more radical. But For sure, Islam does believe in subjugating the world to its teachings. Related to, on some level, our desire as followers of Jesus to share the good news around the world and to fulfill the Great Commission and to see all people either come to faith or people have an opportunity to come to faith, ultimately believing that Jesus will return and establish his perfect kingdom on the earth. Muslims believe that the whole world will come into submission to Allah, that Islam will spread around the world. You may think of Islam and say it's related to the word for peace, salam, in Arabic, shalom, in Hebrew. But it really means submission. Yet it's the same root, but it means to be submitted to Allah. And Muslims, through teaching, through influence, through lifestyle, through the media, through ideology, and where necessary, through force, if they feel it's justified battle, justified force, do want to see Islam spread around the entire world. In that sense, take over. Some would repudiate violence. Some would endorse terrorist violence. Others would say violence only if it is for a just war. But either way, the goal would be that the whole world submits to the teachings of Muhammad. That's related, but a slight tangent. The question is, though, why the extreme reaction? I mean, you're talking about two very different things now, Islam and gay activism. And yet, one word uttered, differing, one word of concern, one word saying, you know, there's another perspective here. No, bigoted, hateful, if it's not homophobia now, it's Islamophobia. Maybe a show like this won't be able to stay on. Hey, look, when Focus on the Family, when Dr. James Dobson was doing the daily radio show for Focus on the Family, if they would address certain issues, some political hot-button issues here in America, say having to do with homosexuality, that show couldn't air in Canada, or it would have to be edited to air in Canada because of Canadian censorship laws against hate speech and so-called hate speech and the like. And again, I remind you, the same Facebook, which is now in league with major gay activist organizations, that here the Human Rights Campaign is not fighting for the human rights of all people. The Human Rights Campaign is not fighting for Christians being slaughtered in Sudan. The Human Rights Campaign is not fighting for orphaned children or little girls sold into sex trafficking in Thailand. The Human Rights Campaign is not fighting for that. They are looking at one segment only, which is homosexual rights. It would be better to call it that, the Homosexual Rights Campaign, which is their legal right. And if people are being harassed or attacked or violently persecuted, of course, speak up about that. Of course, I'll join with you in speaking up against that. But let's go back to the bullying thing, okay? Let's go back to the bullying issue for a minute. Let's think about this. Why are kids bullied? I've talked about it before. I want to talk about it again. Kids are bullied because they're perceived to be weak. They're perceived to be different. Sometimes they're bullied because another kid is insecure. Whatever it is, do we have campaigns? Do we have obesity is good campaigns? We just need to understand some kids gain weight more easily than others, or the foods they eat, their eating habits, or what they're exposed to at home is such that it's just natural for kids to be fat. And we just need to understand that, and look, a lot of kids are starving. At least these kids have enough food. We should be glad for that. So let's have obesity as a good campaign. No, our First Lady and others are constantly saying we need to work against childhood obesity. And in fact, it's dangerous. It is very dangerous. It's going to lead to all kinds of other health risks as these kids get older. We understand that. So because we care about the kids, hang on. If our First Lady is saying that it's bad to be obese, we need to work against obesity, doesn't make those kids feel bad? Maybe they'll be subject to more bullying. Maybe others will pick on them more. Maybe it's going to hurt their self-image even more. They're struggling already with being fat. Now it's going to be heaped on them even further. Some of you have kids who are overweight. Some of you remember being overweight in school and being bullied or harassed or picked on. What do? We teach not that obesity is good, but that bullying is bad. But no. When it comes to kids identified as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, you have to teach that gay is good. Friends, the message is simple. Bullying is bad. And when it comes to our other subject, Islam, let Islamic leaders around the world all renounce Saudi Arabia's Wahhabi Islam. Let them all renounce Taliban. Let them all renounce Palestinian terrorism and on and on. And then maybe we'll listen a little bit more. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click contact to get a question to me. Tomorrow, don't forget, Friday, you've got questions. We've got answers. I've still got time to look at some more email questions that I might answer on the air. Or you can call. So we always do our best to set aside the last day of the week for your questions on any subjects of interest to you that relate in any way to the Line of Fire broadcast. Okay, if you're in Jacksonville, Florida, if you're listening on 91.7 FM this Sunday morning, 10 a.m., I will be at Bishop Paul Zink's New Life Church. So I encourage you to join us if you're free on Sunday morning, then come up to me at the book table afterwards, introduce yourself if you're listening on the broadcast. Also, we've just set this up. This is hot off the press news. Mark this down if you live anywhere in the greater Charlotte area. Monday night, November 1st. It's the day before Election Day. Monday night, November 1st at Southern Evangelical Seminary, Pineville, Matthews, so right outside of Charlotte. They'll be hosting another debate between Rabbi Shmuley Boteach and yours truly on the subject of homosexuality. Is it America's greatest moral crisis? He and I have a very different take on this issue, and I think it's going to be an enlightening, eye-opening debate. So stay tuned for details. If you want to be in the know, get all the information, make sure you're on my email list, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, sign up for the email list, or get on our Facebook page at Ask Dr. Brown. I want to read a few comments to you in answer to the question, can we fight against the bullying of kids who identify as gay or who are perceived to be gay without teaching that gay is okay? Al, bullying of anyone is wrong. Why should we foist our beliefs on people who don't believe the same thing? I'll assume I. Of course, it starts with our own children, but we also have a responsibility as Christians to care for all of our neighbors, to try to protect them from harm, just as Jesus taught in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesse, yes, we can. I think the key is to fight against the idea that some sins are somehow more sinful than others. Let me see if I can spot this one comment here from Catherine. Here we go. So it's save the whale, save the moss, save the gays, stop the Christians, because we are the problem. You know, can I point this out? The whole mindset that what we have to do is educate kids to be accepting of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender identified kids, that's the key. It misses the whole point. Misses the whole point. Now think of this. This is what you're teaching a kid. Let's say Joey. Joey is 15, and Joey has just come out, and Joey identifies as gay. He says, I've discovered my real sexuality. I'm gay. All right? So we need to teach the other kids that gay is okay. Gay is cool. I mean, you can support them and say, that's neat. That's who you are, or that's great. There are a lot of cool people who are gay, or whatever. We need to be positive, accepting, affirming, and then that'll stop the bullying. Well, hang on. So what we're telling the kids are that if gay was not okay, then bullying would be good. Bullying would be okay. If somehow identifying as gay was not a good thing, if somehow it was not morally good or physically healthy or emotionally healthy or societally acceptable or whatever, if being gay was not okay for any reason, then is bullying okay then? Then it's okay to be cruel. It's okay to be insensitive. It's okay to pick on a kid. It's okay to harass a kid. It's okay to beat up a kid. It's okay to torment a kid. It's okay to lie. That's now okay? It's the whole wrong approach. This approach should be the opposite. Let me say it again. Our message is not gay is good. Our message is bullying is bad for any reason, for any kid. And if we could model in our own homes and our own behaviors, love, grace, kindness towards others, no racism, no bigotry, no hateful words, if we could model that and say, hey, look, even though someone's different, you know, we got a Muslim neighbor and they dress different, you'd be nice to those kids. You understand that? And yeah, and you know, we're a black family and there's a white kid down the block and only white family on the block, he looks a little different. You treat him nice just the same, or that's the only black family on the block and we're a white family or Asian, Hispanic or whatever. We treat everybody the same. And you model that in the home, that's what kids need to understand, and that treating others cruelly will not be accepted. Yet why here? We're not teaching that being obese is okay, or say having buck teeth is a good thing, or a kid with a birth defect on their face, that's pretty. No, you'd say, don't be cruel. That's wrong. I think it's simple. I got more to say. I'm going to provoke you a little bit more on the other side of the break. Okay, if I was on National Public Radio as a news analyst, as Juan Williams was, first, that'd be quite shocking given our different ideologies. But second, If so, the comments I've made on the show already would have gotten me fired. And if they hadn't, the comments I'm about to make will get me fired, or would get me fired if I was a news analyst on National Public Radio, or for that matter, on CNN or MSNBC as a regular host. So here we go. I don't doubt for a second that these gay activist organizations care about these kids who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender at the age of 12 or 14 or 18. I don't doubt that they care. I don't doubt that many of them are remembering what they went through as kids, and they are very pained over the suicides and these other things that happen. I don't doubt that for a split second. And I don't doubt for a split second that they're using this for political gain and what they think is right. Here is the real question. Are you helping a kid by encouraging him to come out at the age of 12 and doing it at a gay straight alliance in a school where that kid can come out to his peers or maybe a faculty advisor without the parents knowing? Are you helping that kid? And are you actually think that that's going to reduce bullying, that if kids are encouraged to come out more and more and others are supposed to accept it, that your average 12-year-old is going to be fine with that? Or you actually think you're helping that kid at the age of 8 by saying, okay, you're transgender, and Johnny, if you want to go to school dressed as Jane and use the girls' bathroom and be called Jane and so on, and that's best, and the other kids learn have to accept it. You really think that's in the best interest of the kids? You don't think that that's adding to the problem and setting up an environment where there's going to be more bullying, more harassment, more misunderstanding? There was a boy, Larry King, Lawrence King, tragically gunned down in cold blood in 2008 in California. And it was by a schoolmate. And Larry had been harassing this other boy. He had come out with a troubled background, past foster kid. I mean, it's a tragic story, a real loss of a life here. So he's comes out as gay, and he's cross-dressing. According to some reports, a teacher, administrator even gave him a dress to wear to encourage him. And now he come into school in a dress and in ladies' boots and all made up, and he was harassing this other boy and chasing him down the hallway and wanted to kiss him. We're going to go out together and so on. And the boy came in one day, also with a troubled background, and shot him in cold blood. So murder's murder. Murder's murder. How could anyone think otherwise? The question is, were those that supported this kid's cross-dressing complicit? Did they set him up for the kill on some level? Perhaps not legally. And the school systems that had these rules that said that he can come to school in a dress and we can't prevent that, were they complicit in two lost lives, one through murder and one through incarceration? So here's my bottom line. If we really care, we will not be moved by special interest groups. We will not be moved by what is politically correct. We will not be moved by concerns about censorship, be it on Facebook, be it on the radio, be it elsewhere. We will speak the truth in love. And our message will not be gay is good. Our message will be bullying is bad. Our message would be treat others the way you want to be treated. Our message would be have compassion and kindness towards everybody, especially those who seem to be different, and recognize everybody's created in God's image. Everybody is flawed. Everybody needs mercy, love, and everybody needs a friend. Perhaps in doing so, a lot of these kids, encouraged by the climate of the day to come out and identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender at early and earlier ages, will instead find real caring Christian friends who will help them to find wholeness in Jesus. That's my bottom line. Back with your questions tomorrow.